Last week we mentioned the Gemara at the very bottom of Tes Lamed Aleph, the Braisa, which says that there are three parallels or halachos shared in common between a get and a shtar shichur for an eved kanani. And today the Gemara in Daf Tes Lamed Beis, third line, tells us ukedivrei Reb Meir ba'arba. According to Rabbi Meir, there is a fourth equivalence between get and shtar shichur. What is that? Omer tein get zela ishti ushtar shichur zela avdi. If somebody appoints a shaliach to give a get to his wife or a shtar shichur to his eved kanani, so the din is according to Rabbi Meir, ratza lachzar bishnehem yachzar. Dear Rabbi Meir. According to Reb Meir, if after giving the get or the shtar shichur to an individual who he instructs to pass it on to his wife or to his eved, he then wants to renege and to take it back. So according to Reb Meir, he has the option of recanting even after he has given it into the hands of his shliach, so long as the eved or the woman have not yet received it. So there's an important Rashi here. Rashi explains, if he wants to take it back before the shliach has given it to the isha or to the eved, yachzor, he can do so. Why? Because Rabbi Meir is of the opinion, hefsid v'chov hein la'osan shenish l'chulahen. Rabbi Meir holds that a get isha and a shtar shichur for an eved are detrimental. They're not in the best interests. It's a loss for the person that it is intended for. And therefore, we apply the halacha, ve'ein chavin la'adam ela b'fanav. You can't impose a chov, a detriment upon somebody, unless it's done in his presence. Kaloma, what does that mean? So Rashi explains, ein adam na'aseh shliach li'adam. One individual cannot be appointed to act as a shliach for someone else, lios nifsad al yado, to cause that someone else to lose out through him as a shliach. Elam kain asa'ohu shliach, unless the intended recipient is going to be losing out, specifically appointed you to be his shliach. Zahainu kibafana, that would be as if he was present when the chov is imposed on him. What's he mean? What he means is that according to the halacha is, everybody agrees, that you cannot appoint a shliach to bring about a detriment or loss for somebody else. So according to Meir, when I appoint a shliach to accept a get or to accept a shtar shichur for my wife or for my eved kanani, both of those are considered to be to their detriment. And therefore, unless the isha appoints the shliach, or unless the eved appoints the shliach, I can't have this shliach act on their behalf to make the get take effect, or the shtar shichur take effect, immediately upon their receipt of it, even before the eved or the isha receives it. Because according to Meir, just like a divorce is to a woman's detriment, so to a shtar shichur is to an eved's detriment. And the Gemara is going to discuss this later on in the parak more in detail. But because of Meir holds that both a get and a shtar shichur are to the detriment of the intended recipient, therefore, I, the sender, the giver, cannot appoint a shliach on my own to act on their behalf to make the get or shtar shichur take effect before the isha or the eved receives it, unless the isha or the eved themselves appoint this man to act as their shliach. Only then, when he receives it on their behalf, it would take effect immediately. That's why Meir holds it. So long as the isha or eved have not yet received it, nothing's happened yet, and I can still recant it and pull it back.
And that's only if it's to the detriment?
Right. That's Rashi's puzzle right now. So Rashi then says, "V'rabbanan pligel lejav meir b'mas nisan." Chachamim arguing with Meir in the Mishnah in the first parak. The Amri, and they say, "Debishichrur," that with regard to shtar shichrur of an eved, "Eino yochol lachzor," the adon cannot take it back. "Mishenimsar liyad zeh," from the moment he gives it to the hands of the shliach, it's too late. He cannot take it back any longer. V'af alpi shelo asa'o ha'eved shliach, even though the eved has not appointed this middleman to serve as his shliach l'kabbalah to act on his behalf to receive the shtar shuchur. Nevertheless, bond and hold, the adon cannot take back the shtar shuchur once he gives it to the shliach. Why? Why don't we say ein chavin la'adam shlo b'fanav? So Rashi explains, mishum dekasavri, because chachamim hold zichus hu le'eved, it's considered a benefit to the eved sheyotze mitachas rabo lecherus, that he is now freed from his adon's possession. Now, once you define a shtar shuchur as a zchus, what happens? Then we apply the halacha of v'zochin lo la'adam shlo b'fanav, that you are allowed to acquire something on someone else's behalf, even without his knowledge. So we have two opposing halachos. Ein chavin la'adam ela b'fanav, you cannot acquire something that serves to someone else's detriment on their behalf unless they are either there and see it and approve of it, or unless they appoint you to act as their agent in that manner. But on the other hand, zachin la'adam shlo b'fanav, you are allowed to acquire something to benefit somebody on his behalf, even without his knowledge, even without his presence, and that would be halachically effective. So the question then becomes, Rashi says, when it comes to shah shukhar for an eved, is a shukhar for an eved kanani a chov, or is it a schus? If it's a chov, like a mayor holds, then the fact I've given it to a shliach to give to the eved, the shliach can't be kon it on behalf of the eved, and until the eved gets it, I can take it back. If, however, like Rabbanon hold, I view shukhar of an eved kanani as a schus, so then I, the adon, can appoint a middleman to be kon it on the eved's behalf, and the minute the eved, the shliach takes it, I can't take it back any longer, even though the eved has not yet received it, because the shliach was already zoche in this shtar shichur on behalf of the eved. And now the most critical line of Rashi is this last line here. Rashi now explaining what's the premise or the basis of the zochin lo la'adam shlo b'fanav says, why does it work? Why does it make any sense that I am allowed to appoint someone to be kona shtar shichur on behalf of the eved, even if the eved is clueless as to what's going on? So Rashi says, da'anan sahadi d'nichale d'neheve hai shlucho lahachi. There's an anan sahadi, there's a given assumption, d'nichale, that it's acceptable to the eved, or that it's pleasing to him, d'neheve hai shlucho lahachi, that this individual should serve as his shliach for this purpose. So Rashi here defines the famous concept of zachen lo la'adam shlo b'fanav to operate on the basis of shlichus. It's a very important Rashi. Rashi says, why is it so that zachen la'adam shlo b'fanav? Why can somebody acquire something on someone else's behalf? And his explanation essentially is because when I want to acquire this shtar shichur on behalf of the eved, even though he doesn't know that I'm doing it for him, nevertheless I can do it because I am halachically operating as his shliach. Now, how can I operate as his shliach? To operate as someone's shliach, you need a minoy shlichus. You need an appointment to serve as a shliach. So for that, Rashi says, no, anan sahadi. The fact that it's so clear and obvious to us that he would want me to act as his shliach, to be kona his freedom on his behalf, that anan sahadi is like a minoy shlichus in essence. Now, this is the same basic idea when it comes to, let's say, Mechiras Chametz. So let's say a rabbi knows that one of his balabatim did not appoint him yet to sell his Chametz, and he knows this guy is just always running late, and he's probably going to call, you know, 10 minutes after the sale has gone through already, to request, oh, please sell my Chametz for me. This year, actually, I have Pesach at Steinberg's house, about maybe 15 rabbanim all there. And they're all saying, "How, wow, no one's called this year on the cell phone." And then sure enough, a few minutes later, someone calls one of the rabbis on the cell phone. Oh, rabbi, help. Okay, Baruch Hashem, worked out. But let's say no one calls. But you know that somebody didn't sell his chametz yet through Israel. So the halacha is, according to many posts, that you can simply put him down on your list of people that you're selling on their behalf, because zachan la'adam shlo b'fanav. Since it's to his benefit that he shouldn't have this chametz lying around in his possession over Pesach, because then he won't be able to use it after Pesach. So it's a zchus for him that I should act as his shliach to sell it on his behalf to the guy. How can I act as a shlich to sell to the guy for him if he didn't ask me to? There's no minu shlichus. It's the same idea. It's a schus for him. Otherwise, he's going to lose it all. So, Anan Sahadis, according to Rashi, it's clear that he would want his rabbi to act as a shlich to sell the chametz on his behalf, and therefore he can do it. So Rashi here defines Zachin L'Adam Shalafanav to be working on the basis of shlichus. That's Rashi's shita.
This applies across the board, even if you know that it's an assumption. Even if the guy didn't want to do it, it doesn't matter.
What do you mean? Did not want to do it? What does that mean?
The Eved didn't want to be free. He was very comfortable.
So how do you know he didn't want to be free?
Let's see. First, I guess.
If this guy specifically was offered shichra and refused it,
or renounced it, I'm like being an Eved.
More questionable. There is a Tosfos who quotes a Yerushalmi that discusses a similar kind of scenario. If the person protests, is it still considered? That's the reverse way. Actually, their Tosfos is talking about a get isha, which we view as a chov for a woman. So what happens if the woman explicitly says, I want the divorce, I need the divorce? Are there instances when you can view get as a zchus, even though the ordinary assumption is that it's a chov?
Right, if the person doesn't want to be freed.
That's, here's the reverse. Here we're viewing shichur eved as a, zchus, according to Rabbanan, and you want to know, can it be turned into a chov if the person specifically has indicated that he does not want to be free?
Well, let's say he never indicated, but after the fact, when it comes to that, I don't want to be free.
After it happened.
Right.
Maybe. I have to check down that Tosus and that Yerushalmi to look at that a little more carefully. There's a Rashba and a Tosus and Yerushalmi who discuss that flip side. Is it possible to turn, to view get as a schus if you know the person really wants it very desperately? You have to track that down and see how that relates to your question.
So we're saying here we have a shaliach who wants him to shaliach, the Baal cannot reclaim it, and we cannot stop the shaliach anymore.
Because if you give it to a shaliach to give to the Eved, according to the Rabbanan, once the Baal gives it to the shaliach, it's too late, he can't take it back.
But okay. Is the person then divorced or free when the shaliach gets it?
Very good question. The pashtus that I would assume is that if you view shtar shichur as a zchus for the eved, then the moment you give it to the shliach, to the middleman, he should be zocheh in it on behalf of the eved, and the guy is freed immediately. That would be the pashas. I think there's a rash later on in the parak that is mashma that we don't go that far. That there's a two-stage process. That we view it as a zchus with regard to not being able to take it back from the shliach once you give it to him, but we don't view the shichur as having taken effect until the recipient actually receives it. I think that's a Rashi later on in this parak, which the Farshim talk about, and we'll see it as we get there. Yeah.
Would that be like about accepting the get for his wife? Maybe he still needs to go to someone else who at least represents the woman.
No, so when he gives the middleman,
he's making the shliach his shliach.
Only because it's a chov. I mean, since it's a chov, the shliach is only acting on behalf of the Baal to be molech to get to the wife. If it had been a zchus, the Baal would be able to say to the shliach, I want you to act on her behalf to be zochah in it for her right now.
So, right here, he's not saying that. He's saying, give this to my wife.
Right, okay, but can the shliach on his own decide, I want to be caught up for right now? Meaning, if get was a zchus, even if the husband would say, give this to my wife, theoretically the shliach can say, I'm going to be zochah in it for her right now.
I'm going to make that decision. Presumably. Have to come from the Baal.
Presumably, right. Presumably. He can be her shliach l'kabbalah without her knowing it, if it was a schus, if get was a schus.
Is it possible for one person to be the yad of two people?
I think there's two people. There's only one.
So by get with his nesina, you can't have a person suddenly transitioning after he has the get from shliach of the Baal to shliach of the isha.
You need to have a second.
It has to be. You're saying that maybe the Baal has to know when he's giving it to the shliach that he's giving it right now to the shliach of the isha, not to his own shliach. Right, that's a good story. You're saying even if it's get as a schus, the shliach could act on behalf of the isha to be zochen to get right now, but the husband has to know that when he's giving the get to the shliach, the maaseh gerushin is happening right now. Right, that's a good point. It's all theoretical because we generally view get as chov, so then you know it's never going to be chal until it comes to the isha or to the shliach lekabbalah of the isha. But you're right, you can't just have one guy accept it from the baal as shliach lehalacha and then transition all of a sudden magically into shliach lekabbalah. Okay, now the reason why this Rashi is important is because there is a Rashba that's quoted by many Achronim, I guess a well-known Rashba in Kedushin, in the second parak on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, where the Rashba brings a raya from the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph that Zechia is lav midin shlichus. What's the Gemara there? The Gemara there says the following. The Gemara there says, the Gemara, in discussing how do we know that shlucho shel adam kemoso, where does that come from? Min haTorah. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we darshan it from the pasuk of nasi echad mimateh. Now, when it came, that went with regard to the Yerusha Sa'aretz, Chalukah Sa'aretz, the division of Eretz Israel, so every nasi was supposed to represent his or her, his shevet in acquiring that portion of Eretz Yisrael on their behalf. So the Gemara says, doesn't that indicate that shluchos shel adam kemoso, the nasi can act as a shliach on behalf of everyone in his shevet to acquire that portion of Eretz Yisrael for his shevet? So the Gemara says, that can't be shlichus, because included in every shevet were ketanim, and ketanim can't appoint someone to be their shliach. So it must be, the Gemara says, that that pasuk of the Nasi acquiring a chelik in Eretz Yisrael on behalf of his shevet is not the Nasi acting as a shliach. Rather, the Gemara says, it's the Nasi acting on the basis of Zachem la'adam shlomofanov. That's the Gemara. That's the Gemara, based on the condition, says, when the Nasi would acquire a chelik in Eretz Yisrael on behalf of his shevet, he couldn't have been acting as a shliach because included in the shevet are ketanim, and a katan can't appoint a shliach. Rather, says the Gemara, it must be the Nasi is acting not midin shliach on behalf of his shevet to acquire their chelik in Eretz Yisrael, but rather he's acting on the basis of zachem la'adam shelo b'fanav. And that, apparently, from the Gemara you see, would work even for ketanim. Now, the katan wouldn't be able to appoint a shliach, but a katan would be able to acquire something on the basis of someone else doing it based on zachem la'adam shelo b'fanav. So the Rashba, very quickly, says, aha, you see from this Gemara that there are two separate concepts. It's not midin shlichus, because the katan can't appoint a shliach, but rather the Gemara says it would work on the basis of zachen. Says the Rashba, you see from this Gemara that zachia is not based on shlichus, and that's why you could be zocha on something on behalf of a katan min haTorah. That's the Rashba's diak from that Gemara. He says, zachen lekatan devar Torah, because Zachin is not based on Shlichus, it's based on a Gzeres HaKasuv.
Could it be that the issue is by a Katan that they can't necessarily do a Minoy Shlichus?
I was just thinking about that. Maybe the Pshat is that really Zachia operates on the basis of Shlichus. The reason why Katan is Lav Bar Shlichus is because he doesn't have the Das to be Mamana Shliach. And since he's excluded from Minoy Shlichus, Mamela, you can't have a Shliach. But when it comes to Zachin, where the Minas Shlichus is covered by the Anan Sahadi, so then even on behalf of a Katan, you could be Zocha Midin Shlichus. I was just thinking that as I was saying this Rashba over. It's an interesting thought. Could be. It's interesting Svara. Look, see if anybody spells it out. But it's interesting Ha'ara. Okay, so the Rashba then says that I've seen Rabbi Hussein of Bali HaTosfos, who quote Rashi, who holds Zechiah is Midin Shlichus, and there are rias from different Gemaras to this as well. So the Rashba just says, if you, Rashi, hold that Zechiah is Midin Shlichus, that would mean, says the Rashba, Mistama, that since a Katan is not capable of appointing a shliach, then how does Zachin Lakatan work if you assume Zachin works on the basis of shliach? So Ashba says it must be Rashi holds that katan less lay zechia midda oraisa klal. It must be that the whole notion of zachin la'adam shlebafanav with regard to a katan does not work in that Torah. It only works midrabanan. That's how the Rashba assumes Rashi would learn pshat. Again, so you're suggesting no, maybe min haTorah zachin would work for a katan because it's only excluded from minor shlichus, but by zachin the anas hahari makes up for that minor shlichus. It's an interesting suggestion. Okay, so that I just wanted to point out that's a very famous machlokas. We've shown him what the din of zachin is based on. According to Rashi, it's based on the notion of shlichus. According to the Rashba, it's exerts a kasuv that has nothing to do with shlichus. Now Rashba says, "Nafka min would be, does zachin work on behalf of a katan min haTorah or midrabanan? If you hold this midin shlichus, the Rashba assumes it could not work min haTorah because a katan can't appoint a shliach. If you hold it's not based on shlichus, it's exerts a kasuv, then it could apply for a katan also min haTorah." Okay. Moving on to the next part of the Gemara and the Tosfos here. The Gemara then says, Bishlam al Rabbanon, I understand according to the Rabbanon, Menyana, the reason why the Brisa specifies that there are only three parallels between Get and Shtar Shechur, Lemi Ute Hadra Meir, it's because the Rabbanon hold only three, not the fourth of Reb Meir. But according to Meir, Minyan Lamute Mai, why do you specify four parallels? What are you trying to exclude? The Gemara says, Lamute Hadatanya. Reb Meir is coming to exclude the following din of the Braisa. The Braisa says, Edim She'ein Yodim Lachtom, witnesses who don't know how to sign. Mekarin Lahem Niyar Chalak. Machalok has shown them what that means. You tear a blank piece of paper. And you fill in the tears or the etching with ink. Amar Ben Shimon Ben Gamliel, Ashbag says, when do we allow that for Adam who can't sign? Dafka by Get Isha. Aval Shechur Yavadim Ushar Kol Hashtaros, but by Shechur Eved or any other star. Im Yodin Likros Velachtom Chosmin. If they know how to read and sign, let him sign. Vimlav, if they don't know how to read and sign, ein chosmin, they can't sign. So let's stop right there for a second. According to Tanakama of that brisa, you can do this not only by Ger Isha, but by presumably other stars as well. Whereas according to Shimon ben Gamliel, you can only do this etching and trace method by Get Isha, not by Shar Shtaros, and not by Shtar Shechur of Eved. So Reb Meir holds that Get Isha and Shtar Shechur of Eved are equivalent in four different ways, but no more, presumably takes the side of Rabban Shem Ben Gamliel, that with regard to this etch and trace method for Adam who don't know how to sign, we split between Get Isha and Shtar Shechur of Eved. We only allow it by Get Isha, not by Shtar Shechur of Eved. So Rashi explains, what's the svar to say Dafka by Get Isha? Because by Get Isha, there's a special takanas agunos. We want to make sure that we get the get through while the husband's still around. Or we want to make sure we get the get through while the husband's still alive, so that he shouldn't die and his wife should be stuck with the yibum. That's why there's a special kula by Get Isha. Here's to finish the Gemara before we see the Rishonim. The Gemara then says, Kriya manda karashime, who mentioned anything about the need to be able to read the shtar? The Gemara says, Chisur mechstra, there was a piece missing from the Braisa, v'achik sa, this is pshat. Edim she'en yodin likros. The Braisa really should have stated as follows. Witnesses who don't know how to read the get, Koren Lifnehem, you have someone read it for them, V'chosman, then they can sign it. V'she'en Yod and Lachtom, if they don't know how to sign, then you can even do the etching for them to trace over, Mekaren Lahem. That's Tanakama. And Rashbag says, we only allow that by Get Isha, not by Shtar Shechur Eved or by other Shtaros. Okay. So now comes Rashi. What is this etching and trace method? Mekarim lehem niyor chalak. So Rashi says, Misartin Viroshman Bisakin al Haniyar. Mikan Lahamniyar Chalak means that you scratch and mark with a knife on the parchment. Es Shmos Ha'edim, the names of the Edim. Uboin Ha'edim Umemalin Es Hakroim Dio. And then the Edim come and they simply fill in the etching with ink. And that is a signature for those who don't know how to sign. That's Rashi. Look at Tosfos. Tosfos quotes Rashi. Perish B'Kuntras, Rashi explains, Mesartin, you etch the name of the aid onto the parchment, and then he traces over it. So Tosfos asks, Afa gav d'chakika chashiva k'siva. But etching, which Tosfos equates with engraving, is considered k'siva. How do we know that? Kamo kosav agave tavla upinkos. Quotes the Gemara later on, Daf Chaf Med Aleph. But the Gemara talks about different ways to write a get. And the Gemara says, that writing on that engraving on some sort of tablet is an acceptable form of k'siva. Let me find it very quickly. It's an acceptable form of k'siva. So, Tosis's question is, if engraving is an acceptable form of k'siva, there's a problem, because that would mean that when the first person etches the name onto the get, that already is a valid signature. And then who's doing the signing? Not the Aiden, but some other guy who showed them how to sign. Tos says, no, hacha lo chashiv ksav agave ksav de paslina beperek beis. We don't consider it writing on top of writing, which is pasul in the second perek for ksiva purposes. Why? De'ein kan ksiva gemura. Etching is not a writing in the full sense of the word. Ela shirosh min ktas. It's just a slight marking on the paper. K'dei lachdom olav edim, so that the edim just can see enough to be able to know how to write the letters. So Tosfos' teretz for Rashi is that even though in general his kasha was k'sav agav k'sav is puzzle, if I write on top of writing that already existed, that's not, my writing is not considered a writing. So that if edim sign on top of etching that already existed, their edim should not be considered signing. Tosfos is mechalik. When I write on top of writing, that's k'sav agav k'sav. My k'sav is no good. There already was a k'sav there first. When I write on top of etching, the etching was not ksav gomer to begin with. So if the etching was not ksav gomer to begin with, then the second, or the ink that's then written on top of the etching, that is considered halachically to be ksav, to be chasima. That's Tosfos' first teretz. The Odin furthermore says Tosfos, Dafilu diyo agabe sikra. Even black ink written on top of red ink, Chashiva lekaman beperek beis, ksav leinyan Shabbos. That's considered writing with regard to Shabbos, that it's also to write black over red on Shabbos. Afal pisha hasikra levada hiksav. Even though red ink alone is also considered writing on Shabbos, still writing black ink on top of red ink is still considered ksiva. So this is Rai. What's he trying to say? What he's trying to say is that it's shaykh to have two layers of ksiva, one on top of the other, and both are considered ksiva. So even though ksav agav ksav, black on black ink, for example, the second layer of ink is not considered ksiva because the ksiva already existed before that. But the same when it comes to Hilcha Shabbos. If I write in red ink on Shabbos, I'm chayev misa. And if somebody then asks, can I write in black ink on top of your letters, halacha would be no. Why not? Why don't we say, well, the ksav's already there, so you're not adding anything to it? The Teretz says, because there's an improvement to the second layer of ksav, which is in black ink, over the first layer of ksav, which is red ink, second layer of ksav is also considered ksiva for Shabbos purposes. So to hear Tosfos is suggesting, even if we grant you that etching is considered a form of ksav, since the ink that's being written on top of it is a better form of ksav, that's also given the halachic status of chasima of ksiva. Then Tosfos says, "Avaloshen mekaren lo mashma keperish akuntris." the word in the Gemara of mekaren does not imply etching. Dahavar le'lememra mesartin, it should have said you etch instead of you scratch instead of you tear. So what's the other pshat Tosfos quotes? Rabbeinu Chanan al pirish. Rabbeinu Chanan learns pshat in the Gemara that what it means is shelokchin niyar chalak. You take a clean piece of paper. Umekarin olav shemos ha'edim me'ever le'ever. You tear the name of the edim through that clean paper from side to side, through and through, a complete tear all the way through. And then umesimin oso al haklaf shahaget kasubo. Then you place this tracer sheet over the cloth that has the get written on it. Ubon ha'edim, the edim then come. Umemalim es hakaroyim diyo. They then simply fill in the tears that you made on the tracer sheet with ink. Vinikaras haksiva al gabe haget. And then the ksiva is recognizable on the get itself, since you traced through the holes in the top piece of paper. That is the second pshat in the Gemara. Okay, so two perushim in the Gemara. When Adam don't know how to sign, what can you do to assist them? Either pshat is according to Rashi, you actually etch in the get itself their signatures, and they just trace over it. Tosis is troubled because Shail of Ksav Agave Ksav. Tosis says, no, the second Ksav is an improvement, still considered Ksiva. Tosis is about the Lashon Mekar, there's not Mashma, you etch. So Tosis is Pshat, it's a bit of Chananel's Pshat, that you actually tear a tracer sheet, which you place on top of the get, and then you fill in the holes with ink.
What is the Tosis' second Pshat of explanation of Rashi, that the two writings are fine on top of each other?
Yeah.
So the first, the sketch, the etcher, he's the witness, then the guy who's filling in the blank, that those are two witnesses?
No, the etching is just for the aide to know how to sign his name.
I'm saying, but if you consider that a ksiva, isn't that the whole issue? Isn't that the way he explains it?
So let's say the fellow who's masaret did not see is postulatus, for example.
Okay.
So you can't serve as an aide. Right. So then you need after the chesim atavit to serve as the aidus. Okay, so we mentioned last week, just briefly, and this is this sugya that relates to the innovation of Rabbi Abadi, I guess back in 2003 or so. So it's 7-8 years ago, 2002, to produce Torah, Sifrei Torah through silk screen production. Apparently, essentially what silkscreen is all about, he writes in this tradition article, is you have some sort of fabric, like a window screen, but much finer, made of silk or some other material such as polyester, and you would put ink apparently there's a stencil that's placed over the screen, and you would then use a squeegee of sorts to pull ink over the entire part of the silkscreen that's not blocked by the stencil. Does that make sense?
So what the screen is just to make it look, what's the screen's like?
Not sure what the screen is there for. Then.
Too much ink.
That's interesting.
But it probably lets the ink go on. Like,
yeah, I mean, if you just pour ink on, you're just going to get everywhere. Maybe it's
that's interesting. Okay. So I guess that a stencil which has the.
It's like spray painting.
Essentially, right. You have, instead of the sofa having to write every column, say, of a Torah, letter by letter, you have, a stencil that has the shape of every of the entire column or two of a Sefer Torah, just a set what do you call it?
A template.
And then you would have like a pool of ink on the side, which you then would squeegee over that stencil with a silk screen beneath it, and then la voila, you've got your, you know, in just moments you have an entire column of a Sefer Torah beautifully put together.
This was
So that's the question. That's the question. So, here's how does it work? Here. Rabbi Abadi, who in 2002 published a suggestion in Kovetz based on V'Yisrael, which is the Kovetz Chiddush Torah, to use a piece of tightly woven silk stretched on a wooden frame. Minute holes in the material are arranged in the shape of the letters of an entire column or of several columns of a Sefer Torah. The silk screen is then placed over parchment. Ink is poured on the unperforated area of the silk along the entire length of the right side of the screen. Because halacha requires you write from right to left. So here's your silk screen over the cloth. And you have the entire column shaped out in the silk screen. So put the ink along the entire length of the right side of the column and squeeze it across from right to left. So I'm writing from right to left, just writing like an entire column of lines at one shot. He says, a broad-faced implement like a squeegee made of rubber or plastic is used to force the ink across the screen from right to left, that the ink enters and fills the gaps that have been left between the roving strands of the screen. The ink dries, you remove the screen, and a full column or multiple columns of writing appear on the cloth. You repeat this process for each section of the Sefer Torah. Ultimately, you sew the pieces of parchment together, and boom, you have an entire Sefer Torah that, instead of costing between 50 and 70,000, will cost 18,000. It's pretty economic. This was back in 2002. So Rabbi Abadi was one of the three people in Lakewood that Aaron Cutler told Talmidim to go ask Shilas to. My mother has a cousin who lived in Lakewood back when Aaron Cutler was Rosh Yeshiva there. He said, it was Yadu in the Yeshiva that Aaron Cutler told the Bachman, I'm not around, you have a Shaila, ask one of three people. Rabbi Abadi, Rabbi Heinemann, or Shlomo Miller, who's now Rosh Kol in Toronto. Those three were his poskim. What? No, Rabbi Cutler was there. Rabbi Cutler appointed Rabbi Abadi, Rabbi Heinemann, and Shlomo Miller to be like the poskim in his absence. Apparently, Shlomo Miller was younger somewhat than the other two, but Rabbi Abadi and Moshe Heinemann were known as the people who Rav Aaron sent Shilas to when he wasn't around. So that speaks pretty highly. Apparently, Rabbi Abadi was one of the big poskim in Lakewood for many years, moved to Har Nof, then moved back to Lakewood. So he suggests this. It's not a suggestion taken lightly. So the question is, a lot of this really depends on how you define ksiva. So yes, Rabbi Abadi has been careful to determine to write that you start from the right side and move to the left side, because ksiva has to be from right to left. And his innovation is that who says ksiva has to be forming each letter as I go? Maybe simply pushing the ink already across, a stencil that creates letters is also sufficient. And this is the sugya that it all depends on, because here we have a requirement for ksiva in a get. Eidim have to sign, right? The kasav la sefer krisos. There's a requirement for ksiva in a get. And the Gemara is very clear that according to Tosfos and Ben Chananel's Pshat, it's even considered ksiva if they simply fill in the already cut, torn sections of a tracer sheet on top of the get. So this should be the same thing. If Tosfos and Ben Chananel allow an aid to sign by tracing an already formed hole in a paper,
so tracing it.
So that's the question. Is this any different?
It is. Still doing this, the writing motion. Someone just holding your hand almost, like telling you this is how far. Uh-huh. This is not a ksiva motion, like doing a squeegee. That's what it's more compatible.
So Rabbi Bleich points to Rabbeinu Kreskas here on this sugya, who says the following. Rabbeinu Kreskas quotes this Machlokas Rashi in Tosfos. He quotes Rashi, rejects Rashi, ksav agav ksav. He quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, accepts Rabbeinu Chananel. And then he quotes a Tosfos that we don't have. Somehow the most critical lines in Tosfos that we just don't have. Says the following. He says, because of the Tosfos, it's like a one-liner he throws in there. And all of a sudden now, like 700 years later, this is like, you know, the most critical line in all Kedusha of Rebbeinu Kreskos and Gittin, because it relates to how the Kashrus of our Sefer Torah is determined. So Rebbeinu Kreskos writes, because of Tosus, oh, and Tosus writes, the Dafka Derech Ksiva. Avalo Lishpoch Dio Al Haniyar. She'ein Zu Ksiva. Seems to think Mamish this point. Because even though he accepts Rebbeinu Chananel's pshat that they would tear the letter shapes into the tracer sheet and then put ink over the tears, so you're hard. He says, but that's only because they're doing it derech ksiva. But to be shofech diyo al haniyar, to pour ink over the paper, that says Rebbeinu Kreskos is no good, because that is not ksiva. Yeah, he's Rishon. For many years, they thought that Rebbeinu Kreskos and Gittin was the Ritva and Gittin. And they realized that's Rebbeinu Kreskos. Definitely a Rishon. So, what's that? So this would appear to be very clear raya against Rabbi Abadi. Rabbi Abadi, though, however, apparently aware of this Rebbeinu Kreskos, argues that when the Ritva says, you need derech ksiva, not to be shofech the dio. He says all he means is that you can't just pour the ink on top of the paper and then remove the paper and you have your formed letters. However, he says in his case, where he's advocating pushing the ink across the letters with a squeegee of sorts, he argues that is enough of a maisa to be considered maisa ksiva. So, of course, how do you define derech ksiva? I mean, there's two extremes here. Derech ksiva is good. Shvicha is no good. Pouring it is no good. So then Rabbi Abadi says, okay, pouring it is no good. That means you can't just pour it on top. Derech ksiva is all you need. Okay, this is also derech ksiva. So Rabbi Bleich argues, what do you mean? Derech ksiva means take your fingers, take your hands, take your pen, and you follow the outlines of the letters. This is still considered shvicha. So that's what it comes down to. The question is, is simply moving this squeegee across the board, so to speak, considered derech ksiva, or is that still considered derech shvicha?
So why don't you just, I mean, derech ksiva is the type of thing you could, I mean, the Gemara sometimes says, go out and see what people are doing. Nobody's moving ink across.
That's what comes to mean, what's shinui you mean? A shinui versus what's kederech?
No, I'm saying the Gemara sometimes uses that concept then.
Put chazim ayam adavar, that's what everyone does.
Yeah.
But is that concept used with regard to, you know, what's considered a maisa of ksiva? That's more like just follow them in a golem, whatever they do. I mean, here if you have to define what ksiva means, because of law, what does that mean? Because of law. So we have a definition that it means ksiva as opposed to shvicha. So what's considered shvicha? So Blach argues, you know, doesn't matter if I spill it like this, spill it like that, or spill it like that. And it's all a spill. And Mabadi apparently is saying, no, just a maisa with your hand to move the ink across the page is considered derech ksiva. See if he.
Did anyone ever make a Torah like that?
So Blech writes, he says that there are reports that a number of Megillos were prepared in this manner and have been sold in the U.S. He said there were no reports of actual delivery of Sefer Torah produced in this manner.
Anyone else agree with him with this story about
it? Doesn't seem like it. Seems like Rav Yashiv, Rav Vosner, Rav Karelitz, the Badats, Vajra, Yosef, all.
Too innovative, anyway.
Yeah, right. Right. It seems like they all, Rav Scheinberg, they all came out against it.
Don't you need like some minimal kavanah like when
you're writing? Yes, so have
like,
my.
While you're pouring, you're gonna have like all the kavanah.
Oh, so that's an interesting question. I mean, you're supposed to have kavanah, you know, to write the Shem Hashem, you know, with kedusha. So I just have kavanah as I move the ink across the board. The
paper. How many times are you writing a Shem Hashem there? It could be here.
Right. So I'm saying, so maybe just having my when I do this. Okay, this is Lashem kedusha Sefer Torah, Lashem kedusha Hashem. Maybe just have everything in mind as I do it. Perhaps. What else does he have here?
Also, the Gemara says it's for the Eved. It's only for an age that doesn't have to sign his name. Maybe he takes the sofer and knows.
True, but
who is can use this luchas too?
As you're saying, we allow this because of Mishum Iguna Kilubarabanan. By get.
Or just in general.
That's only according to. That's
according to Ashbag. According to Shimon Gamliel, we only allow this by get because of Mishum Iguna. It's a good Ha'ara. As according to Shimon Gamliel, it's only Mishum Iguna we allow this, not Mishum Shibas Sefetero.
And we only allow it assuming that he doesn't know how to sign.
Right.
We have sophim who do know how to write.
Right. So I guess Rabbi would argue that Lamaisit still has to be considered a ksiva to be acceptable even b'diavad. There are other reasons why this might not be b'diavad. He tells us about the quote one himself in a minute from Yerushalmi, which Bipasha seems to be saying that there's a concern here that you can't be mekayim the chasima because it's not going to be my personal handwriting style. It's going to be the handwriting of the person who made the etching for me. So that might be the reason why the chasima b'diavad comes into play here, perhaps.
They can't be Mekayim Chasimus.
Right, that seems to be the concern of Yerushalmi, right? Tosus quotes that at the very end of Tosus. Let's take a look. Let's see what he has over here. The condemnations of the innovation range from run away from the act of corruption to if you are matir, this Rav Yashiv says that's chotim matis harabim. And Rav Yosef said nothing to base this on. Okay, so a range of severity in terms of how.
His point just to get a cheaper Sefer Torah? Is that what he means?
I mean, I assume that he wanted to make it easier to produce Sefer Torah, number one, make it cheaper to produce Sefer Torah. And also make it much more standardized and beautiful. Yeah. Meaning, you can just get one really great sofa or get a machine to cut the shapes into the silkscreen.
I can't see it working. All the ink's gonna.
Right, I don't know how that works either. But yeah. I guess the idea would be cheaper, it would be faster, and it would be so standardized and so perfect. And you'd have machine, manufactured screens that had every os to the measured perfectly, it looked pretty beautiful. I'm sure there'd be a lot of hinder there. So here I'd like to discuss is the spilling as opposed to writing. Now the truth is, Vach points out also that according to the Rashi, the whole head is out the window also. According to Rashi, there's no makor that's still good to begin with. Right? It's only if you assume like Tosis or Menachem, then you have a heter. If this is Derech Ksiva.
Can we pass on either side of this?
Okay. So he says over here that the Rambam quotes only the option of the Rambam does not quote the option of Benochananel. The Rambam quotes the option of using something which is Eina Miskayim, like roke, spit. Something which is not miskayim to show them how to
erasable ink.
Or whatever it might be. Something which does not miskayim to show them how to sign. Mashma he doesn't hold of the heter of Benachanan and Tosus. Others say Besos says Pratam is no, he holds both are good, he just quotes one, why quote the other? They're both equally good. But you're already dealing with, so you're shy here. If Rashi doesn't hold of this heter, if the Rambam might not hold of the heter, so granted, Tosus and Benachanan holds of it, but you're already playing with a shayla that some Rishonim might not accept altogether. There's certainly cause for worry. Certainly cause for worry here. So that seems to be the critical issue here. Shficha derech ksiva, and whether this manner of silkscreen is altogether at all the pshat in this gemara, since Rashi seems to say that it is definitely not. I'd like to discuss is the kedushas Hashem issue. Many posts will have to verbalize, the l'shem, the l'shem kedushas Hashem before you write every shem Hashem. It's obviously going to be a bit problematic here when you're trying to mass numbers at once together with everything else that you're doing at the same time.
Although you could theoretically, if you did it going across line by line.
Still, you're doing. I see what you're saying, right? Because then you at least can identify when you're doing the Shem Hashem.
Yeah.
That's true. That would work. That's true. which that's true. Right. Okay, so that it seems like this is not a acceptable method according to most poskim. Right, Rav Leich says you have to bring strong raya to support this kind of innovation, and you haven't done so yet, so he does not obviously accept it. But just interesting how this one sugya here, and you know, in esoteric theoretical case of Adam can't sign their names in a get, is the source of such discussion halacha l'maaseh in writing Sefer Torah today. Okay.